numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D. Lovely downtown Las Vegas. Does it get lovelier than downtown Las Vegas, Kelly? I'm curious.
No, nowhere.
I don't think it does. Jake Hahn on the NHL playoffs, we should say, but the Stanley Cup Finals specifically coming up. The Panthers trying to take a 3-0 lead over the Edmonton Oilers tonight. Series back in, or goes to Edmonton, I should say, for the first time today. Paul Carr will join us. The Euro Cup is upon us. Let's do an intense Euro Cup analysis with Paul Carr. And, of course, it is Thursday. That means Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger. Of course, Kelly, we will update the MLB wins in June. Also, that market as well. We must begin with a quick update at the U.S. Open at Pinehurst, where my only bets, Kelly, my only pre-flop bets here on everything ended up being, as I mentioned yesterday, Scheffler, top five at minus 135, top 10 minus 235. I did add an outright on him at plus 305. And I also took, based on your answer of my question yesterday, who is the most Andy North-type golfer on tour? And while it's not an exact comp, I liked your answer of Brooks Koepka. I ended up taking him at 22.5-1. The early leaderboard has Koepka and Matthew Pavone, both at 2-under. Koepka threw 8. You said Pavone's was a fake 2-under with an eagle. I believe it still counts. I'm checking with
golf
rules.
Kind of joking, but yes, eagle on the par 5. He, like, just made it. So, see if he takes a step back. You're also looking good if you bet Tim Whiting or Frederick Kujundurup, good on you because they're 1-under.
There you go.
Early at the U.S.
There's a whole bunch of folks at 1-under. Sergio's 1-under. Morikawa 1-under through 7. Tony Finau 1-under through 7. Ludvig Åberg 1-under through 7. So hella early, I believe they say, on the golf tour.
Yeah, some big first names there. I did make a couple first-round bets in case anybody's interested. One of these guys has started already. But I did do – we talked about those MGM offerings of, like, the top 5, top 10 first rounds of paying full. So that's how I decided to attack first round today. I bet Xander and Morikawa, both top 5, both around 5-1 for first round today. And then Sepp Straka took a little bit of a longer shot with him. Him and Xander both haven't teed off yet. If you'd want to get involved, top 5 on Sepp Straka is 11-1.
Okay. NBA, RIP, pour out a 40 for your Mavericks tickets, man.
Yeah.
I apologize for that.
See ya.
3-0, Celtics, best of 7, NBA Finals, plural. Celtics now up 3-0 with their win last night over the Mavericks in Dallas. Katie bar the door, 106-99. Celtics win it as 3-point dogs. They win it outright, plus 124 on the money line. 0-155, the NBA historical record of teams that fall 3-0 in a best-of-7 postseason series. And that is why we say Katie bar the door for the whole thing. Dallas opened up 9-2, 149 into the ballgame yesterday. They led by as many as 13 in the first quarter. Did you at that point have the thought in your head, we're all so stupid, of course the Mavericks are going to show up, and of course this is going to be a series, and we're going to come in tomorrow, and this is going to be a totally different theme?
Not really.
I did for a second, if I'm being honest.
No, like, and that's, like, I'd love to be honest, but when they caught back up, I was like, oh, here we go.
Then the Celtics had an 11-0 run. They cut the 25-12 lead to 25-23. Mavericks only led by 1 after the first quarter.
Dude, brutal first quarter beat.
Brutality.
What was it, like, 25-13?
25-12.
25-12. You're up in the first quarter, and the final two plays of the first quarter, Luka jacket up shots, falling to the ground, complaining to the refs, and it's an easy Boston basket the other way. 5 quick points. Sorry if you had Mavericks.
I'm going to get to Luka because I see Stephen A. and Windhorse and all these guys are on this, the bandwagon that we first mentioned weeks ago about Luka. Second quarter, so it's 31-30. Mavericks after 1. First lead for the Celtics was 32-31. That was over 2 minutes into the second quarter. It was a high-paced scoring first quarter. Second quarter grinded to a halt. Dallas led by 1 at the half, 51-50. It was actually a pretty entertaining first half. Kyrie had 20. Mm-hmm. Luka had 17. Tatum had 20 for the Celtics. And then the third quarter began. And that was all she wrote.
Very Boston second half.
Very. Celtics went up 66-59 after an 8-0 run, then 71-61 for the biggest lead. Then another 7-0 run a little later to go up 13. Now they're up 13. Then they led by 15 after three. That was still their biggest lead. And then they start the fourth quarter with two threes to go up 21. 91-70. So in other words, a 41-19 run to start the half. And you're like, okay, well, this is done. Well, not quite yet. Because then the Mavs did that thing where they like kind of act like they're going to come back. This was like a really big act of coming back. They almost did this. A 12-0 Mavs run to cut it to 91-82. And then all told, it was a 20-2, pardon me, a 20-2 run to make it 93-90 with over 6 minutes left. This was unbelievable. With 5:25 to go, same score, the Mavericks had you know, it was a one-possession game. Jason Kidd calls a timeout, and Luka becomes irate with Jason Kidd for calling the timeout.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's ready to go down the other way.
Mocking
yeah.
Jason Kidd for calling the timeout. Dallas has three possessions to cut into the lead further. They go 0-for-3. In the meantime, Luka gets his fifth foul with 4:38 left, then his sixth and final with 4:12 left on a blocking foul, which withstood review. By the way, when the foul was called, Luka then looks at his sidelines and said, "You better bleepin' review this."
Yeah. I think that was some carryover frustration from he wanted the challenge on the fifth foul, which I was a little bit more 50-50.
He fouls out 27-6-6. The only six that mattered was another six, though, with six fouls. So the Mavericks, if they're going to do this, are going to have to do it without Luka. Kyrie hits a jumper. Now it's a 22-2 run. 93-92 Celtics. Did you think at this point that it was going to happen?
I mean, Luka off the court. I mean, I was hoping and praying.
Here's where I was like, I have no faith in this happening. Like, I just didn't. Like, I never
court,
really felt like this was going to happen at this point.
I mean, you know, it's Luka's off the court. You've seen what him and Kyrie have done the whole game, and meanwhile, you check the box score, and you're like, oh, I've got 30 points out of the rest of the Dallas Mavericks, and that's who you have to rely on right now.
Brown on a follow-up to make it 95-92, then an offensive foul on PJ on a screen on Drew. White with a three, 98-92, and at that point, it was just, you know, they were never going to kick. Kyrie was fouled by Drew. He had two free throws, 98-94, 2:32 to go. But a Tatum jam, back up six. Lively follow jam to cut it to four. Tatum did miss a three, and then Lively all alone. I don't know how they lost him. Yeah. Kyrie hit him with a dunk. It was 100-98, but then the dagger, as Steve Buckhantz used to say in D.C. Brown jumper, 102-98 with under a minute left. Then a missed three by PJ. Celtics turnover, that Al Horford strange turnover.
he had a couple.
By the way, I don't know if he was out of bounds or, like, I don't know if he was out of bounds or if the ball was out of bounds. I never saw that he was, and they're like, Mavericks ball. Kyrie wild three where he was fading to the right, no good. White fouled on the rebound. Katie bar the door. White hits both. They're up six at that point. Anyway, 104-98. They end up winning it 106-99. Again, 100, by the way, short changes. 156-0 all time for teams up 3-0 in best of seven series in the NBA. Tatum ends up with 31. Brown 38-8. Brown is the short shot to win MVP. By the way, thank you. I was told yesterday on Twitter that it is a Nevada gaming rule that once the series starts, they can't put up MVP anymore. So thank you, Nevada Gaming. You saved me money, as I said they would. Now that I even know that it's a gaming rule, what's the justification for it?
Yeah,
what's the reasoning? How dumb is that?
I mean, I would like to say, oh, that feels like something we should remember from years past.
I don't remember that.
But, like, I don't remember it because of what you just said. How does that make any sense?
Doesn't. Kyrie, 35 in defeat. So here's, my thing with Luka. Now, we said this weeks ago on the show. I did. Which is, he is, as great as he is, he's an unaesthetically pleasing, that was my phrase, an unaesthetically pleasing player to watch. Mm-hmm. This ain't the Warriors, right? Mm-hmm. This ain't Jokic with the passes. This is a guy who plods, and yes, he's wonderful offensively, but he's unaesthetically pleasing to watch play basketball. And then on top of that, you add the fact that he's terrible on D. Let's just throw that in there, too. But he whines about everything. And now and we said this, that he's always whining at the refs in a Rick Barry. If you want to go back generations, Rick Barry used to complain every single time he was called for a foul.
Yeah.
Like it was just a thing with him. Luka has gotten to the point that now he's at the refs, he's at his coach, he's all these things. And now you finally see, when I walked in here, Windhorse and Stephen A. finally killing Luka for this. Like ESPN has finally gotten on the bandwagon for this. He's got to change if they're going to get to the mountaintop on
this. Yeah, I mean, I think this was the perfect example game of that. I mean, you acting like that throughout the game literally cost you the game. I mean, you can point the finger at the rest of the guys. I mean, you only got 37 points from people not named Luka or Kyrie. Like, I understand that, but I mean, we talk about the end of the first quarter. And there was a lot. There were several. I'm not, like, with a player like him, like LeBron James, like James Harden, like Giannis, like, there's a lot of fouls that happen during the course of a game that don't get called. But you can't let it affect you like it does for him. And it's
Doris Burke pointed out one time, he's just lollygagging. He didn't go back on D. You know, that happens a lot with him. So game four, and I hesitate to even bring this up, but it's tomorrow night. Potential sweep game. Celtics were a slight favorite last night. Now the Mavericks are in most places. Again, by a point.
Yeah, it's like a point.
Do you want any part of this at all? 211.5 now. The total has ticked down a bit. Not nearly as much as the final scores would have you tick it down.
Yeah, that is interesting, actually.
Sweep or gentleman sweep, right? These are the only options here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's probably just done in four. I mean, just like yesterday when we talked about it, there's no reason I'd be going to back Dallas right now. I just don't know what you've seen. They've tried almost everything at this point. They finally put Hardaway out there. No Kleba. That didn't matter. That didn't help at all. The one thing I wanted to bring up real quick, though, in another universe, Luka doesn't foul out. They win that game last night. Oh, my gosh. We're sitting here crushing Boston for doing the same Boston thing 100%. Over and over again.
100%. 100% we are. That's why the NBA playoffs is squirrely to begin with. Game four is when the team is up 3-0, the squirreliest of all squirrely. I want no part of it. We'll come back. Jake Hahn on the Stanley Cup final next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Right now you can upgrade to a VSiN Pro annual subscription for just $199. That's down from the regular price of $240. Plus, we're throwing in an extra month absolutely free. With a VSiN Pro subscription, you'll get exclusive access to premium analysis, expert picks, and advanced betting tools that'll give you the upper hand all year long. And here's the big news. Our NFL betting guide coming out later this month. And it's June what now? 13th. That's within 17 days, Kelly. I don't know if you know that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing that's happening. Ultimate resource for the football season, packed with detailed team division and conference analyses, and, of course, best bets for the upcoming NFL season. Don't miss out on this limited-time deal. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe right now and use promo code ANG to claim your discount bonus month.
ANG like a numbers game.
Thank you, sir. That is VSiN.com/subscribe now and use promo code ANG. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Billen. You're totally right about the, and I mentioned this yesterday, how we would have completely changed our narrative on everything had the Celtics win. Particularly, as you say, they went scoreless for two-thirds of the fourth quarter.
It's wild.
8 minutes, wild. Right, where they didn't score a point. By the way, here's Luka's quote after the game talking about the referees. He says, we couldn't play physical. I don't know. I don't want to say nothing. That's my Luka accent, by the way.
We have him talking about it, if you'd like to hear.
Oh, do
him.
We?
Yes,
oh,
we do.
I don't know. You probably mentioned
we absolutely
no
do.
Idea. Well, let's hear from Luka himself. Does he say something here?
He talks about the reffing at the end.
Well, it's only one more line. Do we need to hear him?
That's fine. No, go ahead. Finish in your
He just says, you know, six fouls in the NBA finals. Basically, I'm like this. Come on, man. Be better than that. So he's like completely blaming the refs for this.
Yeah,
that doesn't do any good. By the way, Steve Fezzik has texted in. He objects to my use of Katie bar the door. He says, I believe this is a Southern American expression. I said, yes, Steve, I grew up in D.C. We're kind of below the Mason-Dixon line, if not Southern. Basically means trouble lies ahead. I love the expression, but I think it's more applicable early in the game rather than when the game is clearly lost. He adds, I'm such a pain in the blank. That last part is certainly true, Stephen, I must tell you. No, I appreciate the love on the thing, but I can only tell you that, yes, while you are correct that the origins have to do with, like, securing a door because there's trouble ahead. Oh, no, secure the door. That the way it was used is when it's over. Just lock the door. It's done.
Why was that always Katie's job? Why couldn't it have been somebody else's job? Why did she always have to bar the door, you know? That's what I don't know.
It's K-A-T-Y, so I'm not really sure what that's about.
This course. Morikawa just hit one out of the bunker. Jake's not going to be happy to hear this either because we're both on him. He just hit one out of a sand trap that, Gil, you would be... jumping up and down if you hit this good of a shot.
I'm sure I would.
And it just cruises by the cup, and it keeps cruising for about 45 more feet right off the green, and then has to chip back up, finishes with a double bogey. He's back to a one over.
Let's bring in Jay Kahn, the aforementioned Jay Kahn, who joins us to talk hockey, but is also a big, of course, golf guy, because he's got bets, and he's got Colin Morikawa. He joins us courtesy of the Progressive guest line right now. How you doing, Jake?
I'm doing great, guys. I was doing much better about 10 minutes ago before that Morikawa double bogey. Like you said, things were going really well for me this morning. My two outright bets, Morikawa and Brooks Koepka, both at the top of the board playing together, vibing. Grass court tennis bets were coming in this morning as well, Gil, which I know you'll absolutely love. And we've got a Stanley Cup playoff game to break down tonight. So, yeah, a little better 10 minutes ago. I could have done without that Morikawa double bogey that Kelly broke down.
Yeah, Koepka and Pavone still on top, two under for the early part of the U.S. Open at Pinehurst. How has your grass court tennis been? Mine, not so good to start.
Yeah, pretty good. I did play. It was quite chalky this morning, I will say. A couple of favorites parlayed together. Matteo Berrettini just closed it out for me to hit a pretty nice bet. So that's good. It's nice when you can pay for the golf cart. As Kelly probably knows this as someone that bets golf heavy. If you can pay for the golf cart on like a Wednesday night, a Thursday morning, you feel pretty good. You kind of feel like you're free rolling the thing, and maybe even leave some room for a live ad later. We'll see how this. I'd like to see how the course is playing sometimes in the morning. Then look at some afternoon tea time, see if maybe there's a guy I want to jump on.
Yeah, that's my problem. Dogs aren't barking. Dogs are not barking on the tennis tour right now. Okay, and then the golfer, you said Koepka. Who are you rooting for? Who makes you the most money here?
Well, it technically would be Morikawa, but I am on Brooks as well. It's just once it got to a number, I got in at 26-1. I did see some people jump in at some 30s around there as well. But once I saw the 26 beside Brooks's name, I thought, you know, it was kind of between him and Bryson for me. And I still do really like Bryson. He can bomb it down this course. This isn't necessarily your longest U.S. Open track, but I still trust Bryson around the greens and to kind of manage this golf course as well. So he's someone that's teeing off in the afternoon that I am still looking to possibly get behind, watching how this course is playing so far. I still do like Bryson, and that's an ad I'd be willing to make.
I feel like the sentiment about Bryson DeChambeau just as a personal thing has changed completely, dramatically.
No, I've done at least two 180s on it during his career. Like, I loved him when he was coming up, and then he, like, became the, you know, the nerd scientist, like, trying out everything, thinking he was smarter than everybody, and, you know, he put on a ton of muscle. That got old really quick. And then he went to live, kind of disappeared. Now he's back, and he's been awesome to watch, I think, recently.
And he's cuddly. He's throwing golf balls to kids, and if they don't get to the right person, he gets mad about it.
He's doing that. Yeah. He's moving the, remember the, what was like, the directional pole out of the Masters or whatever? He just, like, ripped out of the ground and moved it out of the way because it was in his way. That was great.
All right, Jake, we're back in Edmonton. We're at Edmonton for the first time. We're back at Edmonton playoff wide tonight. So game three, first time going to Alberta for this Stanley Cup final. Edmonton down 2-0. They've only gotten one puck by Sergei Bobrovsky, but they are -138 favorites tonight against the Florida Panthers. What changes here?
Well, obviously it changes going back to Edmonton. They get the home crowd. You can argue maybe you get an extra call on home ice sometimes as well. That could sway the officials. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case, but some people do believe that. And look, like you mentioned, Gil, this has really come down to Sergei Bobrovsky. Florida played an excellent game two. The game two that I watched Florida play was the game I expected Florida to play all series long. They didn't really get to it in game one. I thought they actually had a lot of trouble with Edmonton and had to rely on Bobrovsky too much. But game two was kind of the perfect formula. Edmonton had 6 shots on goal total from their forwards in game two. And they came from McDavid, Draisaitl, and Hyman. So no shots from anybody outside the big boys up front for Edmonton, which just speaks to what Florida can do defensively. And you mentioned it, only one goal given up by Bobrovsky so far. And it was a 2-on-1, which was his first shot of the game in game two. He hadn't faced any rubber all game. And then all of a sudden has to face a 2-on-1. It squeaks through the 5-hole. Other than that, he's been perfect. So when Bob gets in one of these zones, it's tough to go against him, guys. And Edmonton's getting a lot of respect, I think, in the market for this game. Florida actually closed around -125 in game two. And we're seeing Edmonton hovering around -135, -140, even in some places as well, which is more respect than I thought they would get in the home games in this series. I'll say that.
We used to have, in D.C. growing up, we used to have a sports talk radio host by the name of Ken Beatrice. He used to be on WMAL radio, and the Caps were terrible in their early years, just awful. But he used to scream on the radio every night. He used to be like, shoot the puck. He's like, you'd be amazed at how many wacky things happen when you just shoot the puck off the board, off a rebound, or coming off the boards, whatever. Edmonton was 7 shots on goal in the first 2 periods. I mean, that's the first thing, right? Just like assert pressure.
I think what Florida is doing too is really clogging up that middle of the ice when Edmonton is in the offensive zone and forcing them to shoot from the blue line, right? And if you look at the shots on goal that Edmonton had in the last game, almost all of them coming from defensemen. I mean, Bouchard is ripping shots really in both games, and we expect him to have a lot of shot attempts as a guy that basically plays half the game. But you can't have Brett Kulak with 5 shots and your entire forward group with only 6 shots. So Edmonton has to find a way to get into that home plate area. It's fine taking shots from the back end. And like you mentioned, Gil, you can get a bounce, you can get lucky, you can get a rebound from Bob, or it can bounce off a leg. But at some point, they got to get into that high danger area. And that's something Edmonton really struggled to do in game 2.
So what's the bet here? Someone landing on this right now, they're like, okay, I'm showing up for hockey. What's my bet here either in this game or the rest of this series?
Yeah, so far the series has actually gone according to plan, at least for how I mapped it out in my mind. I thought Florida would win both home games. I thought they would be relatively low scoring, and that's what we've gotten so far. And I felt like Florida would win one of the games in Edmonton. So is that game 3? Is that game 4? Based on the odds that I'm seeing right now, guys, I just can't go against the Florida Panthers right now. Getting plus money with them really in any spot, I just have to continue to roll with them. I fully expect Edmonton to come out and throw the kitchen sink tonight. They have no other choice. I do think they are going to shoot a lot more and try to get McDavid activated in their top players because this is a desperation spot for them. So I fully expect that. It's just when Bobrovsky's dialed in this way and I'm getting the Panthers at plus money, they know what's on the line here, a chance to take a stranglehold in a Stanley Cup final and get that much closer to hoisting the cup. So I'm just going to continue to roll with the Panthers here and take the plus money.
If you believe in the Panthers and you see the series price is north of $4, but Bobrovsky is minus 200 on Conn Smythe, do you play it that way? Is there anyone else who's going to win this besides him? If they
win, I know last time I was on with you, Gil, you mentioned Bob, and he was at a better number at that point. I think at this point, you just got to roll with Bob because he's playing that well. I made the case for Sasha Barkov, and I still think he's an excellent player that the media will love if he has some big moments. But this is a Bob series so far. 1 goal through 2 games, and he looks absolutely locked in. So it feels like if the Panthers do win this Stanley Cup, the Conn Smythe is going to go to Bob.
All right, Jay Kahn, everybody. By the way, you can follow Jake, JayHahn4 on Twitter, co-host of The Point, the Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM NHL. Thank you, sir. Enjoy game 3.
Yeah, you guys as well, and enjoy the golf this weekend. Let's hit a winner.
Good luck with that as well. We'll come back. Paul Carr, Euro Cup summer in front of us. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number 2 of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. All proudly brought to you by DraftKings here from Bar Canada at the D. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Before we get to the Cragman update, U.S. Open, Pinehurst, North Carolina, where the purse is $21.5 million. Kelly, you want a slice of that?
That's pretty good. I'll take a piece.
Early lead here, about halfway through the first round for these guys. Brooks Koepka, 3-under through 11. Ludvig Åberg, 3-under through 10. And Matthew Pavon is 3-under through 9. One of those three is not like the other two. They are in the lead at this point. One-stroke lead over a host of golfers that includes Patrick Cantlay and Tony Finau at 2-under. Sergio and Ricky Fowler among those at 1-under. Scottie Scheffler yet to tee off. Colin Morikawa back to even par now through 11, by the way.
Cool. That's going to be the whole weekend, man. Cool. That's going to be the whole weekend. Definitely some names right there with Brooks. So, Ludvig, I mean, he's the next big thing on tour. Pavone's won already on tour this year. And then, you know, Henley, Cantlay, Finau all right there.
Scheffler and Schauffele, say that 5 times real fast. Scheffler and Schauffele both tee off at 10:14 a.m. I'm assuming that is, it has to be now, I'm not assuming, that's Pacific time, 10:14.
Oh, yeah, you know what that feature group is? Scheffler, Schauffele, Rory. Wow. Top of the board all together today.
Is that right? Oh yeah, because the other one's Fleetwood, Hatton, and Hoagie. Not quite the same. Yeah,
not quite.
At the same time, 10:14. Okay. Or like a minute apart anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Thursday. It is past 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. That means one thing, Unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger.
Don't call it a comeback.
What's up, Billy?
Good morning.
How are you?
Music is so good. I wonder who actually did the music and the video. It's just whoever they did. I'm sure VSiN got rid of him by now, but still, it's a really good job.
Now, Rob Moreno will be here forever.
Well, I didn't know if you know this, Bill, but we have a music department where we put people in a room and they come up with these. No. This is just a
job.
But it is, you know, ultimately it is some people in a room in a studio somewhere, and I wonder if they were there. Now, this is going to be an intro for the well-known gambler Bill Krakenberger. They got like inspired.
That's great.
The best
great.
How the stuff works is it's you know, we use copyright-free music, okay, that we attach, so you can, anybody can grab it and you're not going to get in trouble. What's funny though is we've had some show opens in the past where we've used music and then you'll catch it, like I've caught it on commercials.
Yeah.
I always remember the Edge with JVT and Matt Humans did late night. There's like a Montreal steak seasoning commercial that their music runs under all the time.
Ha.
Q-Tip from Tribe. Q-Tip went solo and he did a song called Vibrant Thing, which I've used on my podcast since the beginning of time.
Yep.
And when people say when they hear it, they're like, wait, why are you using the podcast name? I was like, I think I owe Q-Tip some money. I think. I'm pretty sure. How you doing, man? Where were you?
I was in Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun.
I got a picture from you with you.
Oh, yeah, some guy.
And my buddy. Some guy.
No. Who was that?
As my buddy Chris Bruno.
Oh, no, Chris Bruno, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, there was I'll tell you, like we said with the Brigada and stuff, Pack East, I get stopped so much.
I'm sure.
And you know, Mohegan and Foxwoods, it's unbelievable how many people are enamored with sports betting and VSiN and the Showtime show and everything. So I get stopped a lot. That guy was a very nice guy. I've never met him before. Chris Bruno.
I'm amazed you've never met him before.
No.
Yeah.
I never met him. He has some great stories.
Oh, he's, yeah. Too. Oh, for sure.
Oh, that, yeah, no. He, that's right. He did take a picture and say he was going to send it to you. Good guy. Good. Has he been on with you?
No,
wow.
Because
he was telling me some stories that
day. Oh, no, he's very reticent to come on. He did Spanky's. He's Spanky's guy. He did Spanky's podcast one time.
Okay.
Told an amazing story from his days that he's... Yeah. Was detained.
He's
was
out of that.
Detained.
Yeah.
And so he told some amazing stories. But yeah, he doesn't want to necessarily come on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he has an unbelievable story.
Oh,
he spent all that time in jail for. I was like, what for? What?
Yeah.
You kidding me?
Yeah.
I mean,
one of the great and super guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really nice guy, and he like me, can go to the counter, and I'll tell you, they were taking some really good bets over there at the counter from me. You can't bring enough money. I'll be real blunt. You cannot bring enough money because there was that much opportunity on things there. I was betting over and over again. It was something that I just thought about this. So I went up to the supervisor, the guy that's running the sports book there. I said, listen.
Which one? Which book? Which one?
The at Foxwoods, the DraftKings.
Okay.
I said, listen. Instead of me going to the kiosk and stuffing the kiosk full of money and trying to circumvent limits.
That's right.
So let's face facts. That's exactly what I said. Hey, listen, I usually go to the counter and I bet something. If you don't move it, I go to the kiosk and bet another 500. And he's like, Bill, here's what you do. He said, you know, we like you over here. Come to the counter. Ask for whatever. I'm not going to say the amount, but a good size amount. See what they take. And come back in 15 minutes or 10 minutes, 10, 15 minutes, and if they didn't move it, bet it again. So I asked for, I thought, double what they were going to give me, but no, it actually went through for that amount, which was in the thousands on future bets, and unbelievably, they didn't move any of them. And I bet like 16.
They respected you so much they didn't move it.
No. They know that I'm going to bet it again, and they're going to have 6 months to hope I die and lose the ticket and everything else. So,
I don't know that they're rooting for your death, but no, I understand the sentiment.
They're rooting for my death.
Yeah. Okay.
So I go and bet them again, and guess what? As we speak, at least half of them are the same exact line. I mean,
as we speak. Where do you think that expression came from? As we speak.
Is that Brent? I don't know.
Katie was busy barring down the door, so she didn't come up with it.
Speaking of which, Katie by the door, I have been saying and hearing that for 50 years in the New York area.
In D.C. too.
And I always thought that meant, and maybe I'm wrong, it's over.
It's over.
Oh, okay.
That's exactly how I said it.
Oh, it's over. Katie by the door. It's over. You can't say Katie by the door. That's like saying it's a lock and the game's not over.
Because Fezzik texted this morning. He goes, you're using it wrong. It means this. I'm like, not where I grew up. That's exactly what it means is it's over. But the literal meaning of it, Katie bar the door, is trouble is ahead.
Oh, Steve said something?
Yeah, so he texted me.
Didn't he grow up on like a farm in Ohio?
That's what I mean. I'm like, okay, Steve, I don't know how you said it on your farm in Ohio, but that's it. Yeah.
There's a tornado coming.
Oh,
Katie barred the door.
But that's not how we used it.
No.
That's not how we used it.
How Steve used it. That's what I'm saying.
Steve never used it in his life.
Yeah. No.
He just wants to chime in. Yeah.
Speaking of which, Kelly, what are you drinking there? Is that something hot in there?
Yes, it is.
I'll never do this again.
It's warm.
I got hot coffee downstairs, brought it up here. It's only like 111 yesterday. So, I feel like I jogged 30 miles. I mean, I'm like, well, I'm not 30, but no hot coffee in the summer for me. That's the last time I do that. By the way,
I make the change.
We had to break a record yesterday, right?
Yeah.
I just got back a couple days ago. 111 yesterday. Oh,
brutal.
I wouldn't know. I stayed inside.
Oh, you stayed inside.
Yeah. I can't do it anymore. You know what? It's funny. And I don't know if this is with age this happens. People know this from my Hard Rock days. I was the dude that could go outside at 9:30, 10 in the morning. I was like, sunshine, I'm here.
Wow.
Right? I'd be out there till 3, 3:30. No, in my older age, I have no interest in Las Vegas. Right?
Wow.
Because it has gotten to the point where it is too hot. I guess
you don't go up to the rooftop pool and jacuzzi?
Dude, never anymore. Wow. And I used to, for the first 3, 4, or 5 years. I don't do it anymore.
Wow.
Not in these months. The rest of the year I do.
Yeah. No. It's something you only want to do late at night. But let's get back to Foxwoods and
DraftKings.
Please.
I'm so sorry.
No, and DraftKings.
Where were we?
No, so they took bets again at the counter. You can't – seriously, I there were so many bets I had to make. I could never bring enough money for that place. But, yeah, Foxwoods was great to me. And I liked that I went up and talked to the super – I said, let me talk to the director. He's always a nice guy. Let me talk to him. And one time he said to me, hey, Crack, I seen you – you were in the sports book here. You know, you were in the studio in New York at MSG, and we all watched you. And he was very nice. I said, let me see if I could talk to this guy and ask him and tell him what I want to do.
Yeah.
You know, rather than try to sneak around and stuff kiosk and get myself in trouble, because a lot of times they'll actually, not just them, everybody that has kiosk, you know, you can get yourself in trouble over on the kiosk. They'll say, listen, we're banning you, or we're barring you.
Not if you're Doug Kazarian. You can play it to the
ooh,
hilt.
Yeah, Doug, MGM, under the cover of darkness, Art Modell when he moved out of Cleveland.
I respect it.
Yeah. No, so they took some really good bets from me. And, I came home with a fistful of tickets and some lint in my wallet. literally, I came home with no money. I actually asked my wife I said, how much money you got in your pocketbook? I did.
You went to the wife's pocketbook?
Well, because I came home and I had to go to dinner.
First of all.
And I like paying cash
pocket
for things.
Pocketbook. Let's just start there.
Pocketbook. I said, how much money you got? She goes, how much? What do you mean? I said, I'm going to do something I haven't done since high school. I said, give me all your money. You're not going nowhere, right? She had $400. I said, give me it to me. I was going to dinner that night. I came home with no money.
Was she like, no, but I can write you a check from this checkbook.
The next day, I paid her back, of course. But anyway, so it's very interesting. They have some good stuff up there. And at the counter, I'm not allowed to bet on the apps. Well, you're allowed to, but it's a limited money. Same thing with FanDuel. Can't bet on the apps. But yet over at Mohegan Sun, I went to the counter. I had a real hard time over there. They were very nice. And the guys that run the book, they know me. They're so nice, respectful.
That's
but
great,
it's not
man.
Them. It's not them. Yeah. I went to go put a bet in on a future game and for a dime. I said, let me try a dime. And it said $100 max. You know, like, in other words, week one NFL. So now they have to go to the traders. They text the traders and they approve the bet. It just took it was a long, tedious process.
We just had this experience where we just found out, maybe we should have known this, that by Nevada regulation, I talked with Chrissy yesterday. He didn't even know this. By Nevada regulation, MVP for the NBA Finals cannot be posted again once the series starts in Nevada.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, I can't even generate a story about it because it doesn't even exist.
Game one, you mean?
After game one starts. So, by the way, and I said this, they were going to take money from me. I was absolutely going to lose it.
Oh.
And I knew you're likely to lose it, and they saved me some money. So thank you, Nevada Gaming, for doing that.
Cool.
But anyway, once we get legalized sports betting here, Bill, this is going to be a hell of a state.
I have so much stuff to talk about, we'll never get it all in.
We'll get it in.
All right.
We'll get it in. More with Bill Krakenberger at Bill Crackman with the K. Wise Cracks, the name of his podcast. Coming back on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers Game brought to you by Zyn. Zyn.com. Check it out. America's number one nicotine pouch. From groan-worthy dad jokes to patching up skin knees, your dad is one of a kind. This Father's Day, that's this Sunday, give him a gift that's guaranteed to take him to his happy place, Omaha Steaks. Packages starting at $99 when you go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code VSIN at checkout to get $10 off your order. Show your dad the love he deserves. The gift is unforgettable as he is. Visit omahasteaks.com and use promo code VSIN. Check it out. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Best listeners in the game. No question about that. This is from the numbers guys talking about Katie Bar the Door. He says, Southern? I don't know if that's right. I heard it a lot as a kid from Red Wings color commentator Mickey Redmond. Whenever a fight was about to break out, I took it to mean, now yous ain't leaving. Okay. Kelly just texted me a picture. He texted both of us. The picture of Kate. What is this, Kelly? Katie actually barring the door.
Yes, this is Catherine Barless by J.R. Skelton from H.E. Marshall's Scotland Stories of 1906. Where that is Catherine literally barring the door.
Imagine if someone walked up to Catherine right at that moment and said, this is really going to leave an impression on people centuries from
now. Well, I want to know how that works. Someone's trying to get in the door, she's barring it, and then someone's like, you know what, if I survive this, I'm going to make sure she gets credit for this.
No, Google it. Says somehow it got in the American South. Okay, this is from John B. Not that John B. of 90s R&B fame, but another one. He said, what percent of your bets would you say are for entertainment versus profit? Do you bet same unit for entertainment bets? John, I'm not sure what you mean by entertainment, but I can honestly say 0% of mine are for entertainment.
Zero. Entertainment?
Well, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, no, just having fun?
Yeah.
No, I'm looking to destroy every bookmaker.
My buddies. It's all entertainment.
Oh.
But I'm 0%. Nick Kendhammer. I now understand why Jason Weingarten hates the post office. Sorry, we have a lot of postal workers who listen to this show.
Yeah, whoa.
So I'm a little, all right, now I'm a little reticent to read the rest
of this. I think Jason would describe his relationship with the post office as up and down. I wouldn't say that he hates it.
It's a tense one. Yeah.
It's tense.
But
yes.
Nick Kendhammer says he tried to charge me $5 for a letter. And I looked at her and I said, you're kidding, right? All right, well, that's how it goes. I'm sorry about that. Pounder said, Paul Carr had so many useful picks that I had to stop at the top of the escalator to mark them down. I got a lot of dirty looks for some reason. Because you don't stop at the top of the escalator, as you know. Mr. Masterline, where do you look up the monthly records of MLB teams? Oh, Mr. Masterline. I got a little bit of Asperger's in me, I guess. I manually do the stuff with the games left, run differential, and the one-run outcomes. But you can actually find the records. That StatMuse has a search where you can do it, StatMuse.com. Mike Zilla's Duke 90 is showing me that part of the ACC-SEC challenge in basketball this year will be an Auburn-Duke game, which he points out Bruce Pearl will be coaching against John Shire, and Mike Zilla's Duke 90 texts or tweets, no Goyim here. That's a joke for a certain portion of our audience. I appreciated it. Let's see. NH Better. How did I miss crack at this weekend at Foxwoods?
Yeah, how'd you miss me?
How'd you miss him?
I was down there for like 12 hours a day.
I don't know. Sean, if Luca wants to complain, oh, this is a great one. We'll get back to crack after this one. If Luca wants to complain, where was the complaint on the loose ball? This is so great. Where he obliterated Jaylen Brown on the chase for the ball. Brown tips it up the court with one hand and Tatum chases it down. That play was like a football play where he upended the wide receiver.
Yeah, it was. I mean, at least it was a loose ball, though.
Yeah, but how was there not a whistle?
I was expecting one.
Oh, you got to be kidding me.
He did. I mean, hey, Luka took his fair share of shots, though, too. I mean, there was Tatum shoved him when he went up for that layup. That one was pretty bad.
Dude, this was like,
if Luka didn't weigh 280 pounds, he would have gone flying five rows back.
That was an NFL collision, man.
No, it was. I was expecting a whistle, but
Billy, Bill Krakenberger here with us, who has a list of things to talk about.
I'll never get to them all.
What do you got?
A couple weeks ago, I mentioned on the show, maybe like a month ago, about the parking garages that said, it says, we are not responsible.
Yes.
A lawyer reached out to me.
Really?
Ooh,
and
nice.
Said, Bill, they're absolutely responsible. That every casino,
they said, have to be, right?
He says, Bill, they're absolutely responsible. He said, I actually know of cases of people's valuables missing out of their car. Back from when the day they would pull out the radios out of the car compared to even now, you know, breaking in, stealing a handicap. That's what he said, stealing a handicap sticker out of a car, a handicap placard.
Wow.
He said they're absolutely responsible.
So you can't just speak that off, in other words.
I guess that's what,
yeah.
In other words, the signs say we are not responsible for valuables left in your vehicle. Basically mean break-ins in your cars.
Yeah.
This lawyer told me absolutely he has had cases in the past in casinos. So they just say that just to make sure you lock your car, I guess.
And it doesn't matter if it's indoors or outdoors or anything. Because, because the feel of it is, right, the feel is that if it's indoors, right. Absolutely it's your
indoors, definitely.
Because we have outdoor parking lots here.
Yeah,
like the
surface
lots.
Yeah.
Right, like the South Point where it doesn't feel but the South Point monitors it, right?
They do.
They have someone always patrolling.
There is someone on
the and we talked about the R2-D2 at the M.
Yeah, the R2-D2. I've seen him.
Have you seen him?
Yeah.
That's great.
No, I've seen him.
You know
there.
What, though? It's you know what was still a big surprise to me when I first got out here, though, some of the spots like that, you know, like Bill, down in, you know, Hard Rock down in South Florida and stuff. Like, in South Florida, there are cops everywhere in the parking lots.
There
like,
are.
You felt a little safer going out. I don't know. Like, if you got money on you, like, there were cops always
in sight.
Let me tell you,
though, that Hollywood where that casino is.
Yeah, I mean, it's rough area.
It might as well be war-torn country.
It's a rough area.
I mean, it's bad. I told you. The Wawa outside there, that's the most dangerous Wawa in the country. So, I mean, it's amazing where casinos are nationwide. It just seems like there's bad areas, like, right by it, always. Of course, referring to the beautiful Atlantic City.
We're going to take Bill on a field trip to a war-torn country and see if he still has that opinion.
Okay, no, maybe you're right. I shouldn't say that. I'm not trying to be mean or anything.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's something a lawyer told me. Also,
thank you for that update. That's
annoying, though, because like, what's the purpose of the casino putting that up? It's almost like if we can
get one by you,
confuse one person to not sue us because they got
exactly
their car
right.
broken into and they read that sign and they say, well, I can't do anything about
100%.
It. Like then they saved one lawsuit over that. Like, good on you.
Yep. So the same lawyer.
Justified outrage.
And he listens to our show. And I'm sorry, I forget your name, sir. Uh-huh. The same lawyer said to me, that I mentioned two things on this show, and he said, well, it's a technical thing here. He said, the other one was the clawback that I mentioned. Clawback for, like, Bernie Madoff's clients that the guy, I think it was named Jeffrey Pickauer in Florida, after Jeffrey died, his wife had to give back $7.2 billion, and she gave it back. They were the biggest benefactor of the Madoff's. What's that word they have? The scheme?
Pyramid scheme,
whatever they have. It was a guy's name. They make it. It was a guy. It's a guy's name, and they made this particular thing. Anyway, you know, I'm talking about the
Ponzi scheme.
Ponzi. That's it. Yeah. Charles Ponzi. It's a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
So he said to me, "Well, you know, they had to give back the money, and they gave back the clients about the people that lost money got back about 70% of what they lost. However, my thing was casinos are never held responsible for clawback." You watch, and the show he's referring to was American Greed, and I talked about it on the show.
Greed.
What's his name? Stacey Keach. I talked about it on this show, and he said, well, Bill, there hasn't been a successful case of it, but he said, I would definitely try a case against a casino. In other words, a guy comes in, and he's blowing someone else's money. Casino wins $7 million. They track it. Well, the casinos aren't responsible to give the money back like the Jeffrey Pickauer was responsible, or any of the other people that profited off of the Ponzi scheme. So
interesting. So you're saying in the case someone is gambling away someone else's money?
20% of those cases on American Greed, they gamble the money away in a casino, racetrack, whatever.
That's interesting.
So it's tracked, so they know how much money the casino profited off of it, and it just seems like the casinos are above the law. And he agreed.
It's a great point.
No, he agreed. He's like,
I'm getting outraged just hearing this. Yeah.
Yeah, the casinos in the end, they get it all.
Kelly's about to blow, I can tell.
Like Ace Rothstein said, in the end, we get it all. Yesterday.
Yeah.
I was walking through some casinos. Slowest days of the week, Tuesday, Wednesdays, normally, especially the summer when it's 111. This is a really slow time of the year. Supposedly, casinos are packed because I went to go see Love. and Mystere back-to-back nights. Mystere at Treasure Island, Love at Mirage before they close. I wanted to see Love one more time.
Oh, Love is closing.
Love's closing. Wow. Yeah, it's amazing no one's going to pick that show up or it's not going to travel or move.
How many
around.
Times do you think you've seen Love?
Too many times.
Me
embarrassing.
Too. Me too.
Embarrassing.
When's the Mirage done?
July 6th or 7th.
They moved it up.
I get it over there.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, because Love is at the Mirage.
But yeah. Love was very good still. Wow, really. That show, and by the way, packed, sold out. 7 o'clock show sold out. So I just wanted to say that the casinos are absolutely packed out here in the middle of this heat wave, in the middle of the summer when it's slow. Everyone has money. So it's and also, people were chanting at the game, I noticed. At first, it was like 2-0. People were screaming and yelling at 2-0 in the game. I'm like, wow, welcome by the sports book. They're chanting defense after it's like 2-0. Like, wow, people just love to root for their game the whole way.
Oh, yeah.
Get the final score.
Or that's a 1-10, 1-15 bet.
This sport. I don't know if you guys know this, but this sports betting thing is going to catch on.
Oh, yeah.
It is going to catch on. More with the crack, man. He's got a full list. I'm looking at his computer. There's like a list of things he wants to get to.
Erase all these.
We will do so. Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted, on a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network.